This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from beautiful downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. It's a sunny weekend. Recording it a little early this time. Happy Easter out there if you're listening in the continental United States of America. I know a lot of you had plans for Sunday, us included. So just want to get the recording done for Saturday so that did not interfere. Speaking of us, the other half of us on this week, as always, the mermaid, the one and only mermaid, live from Centerville, Virginia, Anna Knox.
Hey, happy Saturday, Gil.
Happy Saturday. Happy day before Easter.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Easter is kind of a weird holiday, to be honest. In the religious sense, yes. I mean, I was born, good Lord, Irish Catholic family. So yes, I get that end of it. But the whole Easter Bunny thing is a little creepy.
Yeah. I mean, I've never understood all of that, the whole Easter egg thing.
Yeah. And I can say, like, you know, as I know you're a parent, and when you have kids and you're like, oh, we need to do the obligatory Santa photos, and then we need to do the Easter Bunny photos, and like when you're trying to stand in line at the mall and yet you're terrified of the rabbit that's sitting in the chair that's going to hold your child, it's a little bit weird. Like, they just kind of, like, there isn't one that's like, I don't know, it's just, I don't know if it's costumes or whatever, but yes, we will be participating since my family loves any and all things sweet, chocolatey, so they love this holiday. But I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you a Pete's fan?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I can take them or leave them. If they're sitting there and they're fresh out of the box, I'll eat one or two. But if they've been sitting around for like a couple weeks and they've gotten stale, no.
Yeah. I think they're just disturbing. I absolutely hate them. And so I will say, I was pushing my cart to pick up groceries the other day, and, you know, they've got like their pink and yellow and green and whatever, and they're all, you know, congealed together in this little plastic thing, and it's like, ew. And then no sooner did I turn that aisle that there's a whole display of Peep cereal. Ew.
Yeah.
But I had a friend in college that legit, like, his parents would send him boxes of Peeps so that he would open them immediately, put them away, and then take them out like a month later when they were over sale.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween candy I can let go for weeks and weeks at a time, because something about those that they tend to last longer. But Peeps, no. I know if a Peep has been sitting around for more than a week, I know it's no good, and I just won't touch it.
Yeah. I kind of have this like fear that if there was to ever be like a zombie apocalypse and my husband was going to be in charge of the food supply on foods that could last, you know, a long shelf life, it would be like Peeps, like circus peanuts, and then we get divorced. That would be like, that would be my biggest fear, is like having to think of that as like my only form of food, because those are the two worst things ever. Sorry for the randomness. I feel like you and I haven't done a random show together in forever, just us. So I had to throw it out there.
No, I totally get it. And as they say, 'tis the season. So yeah, I actually had a similar debate with a coworker during a call I had. And yeah, they were asking me the same thing. So it's kind of a hot topic around Easter time is the candies. Now, one of my favorites, though, I'm a diabetic, so I can't have too many of them. But right. One of my all time favorites, though, is the Cadbury cream eggs.
Really?
I'll grab as many of those as I can, or I used to anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I know, like, I'm weird anyways, because, you know, we've talked about this on numerous occasions. The teachers always get chocolates and Starbucks cards
mm-hmm.
for appreciation or whatever else. And I don't partake in either. So I'm kind of like, hey, if you want to get me chips and queso, I'm changing your report card to all A's. But yeah, I get, you know, all this stuff, but like Cadbury eggs growing up, I always thought it was just kind of that, I don't know, when you open it and it's white and yellow and it looks too much like an actual egg, then my mind is like, bah, I can't. But yeah, so I don't know what we're going to, I don't, Ian usually picks out stuff because it's usually for him and the kids to eat the candy. So when I'm in charge, they're like, really, Mom, Pez? Or... You know, like something where they're like, nobody likes these. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. I don't need them. Yes, we all have our strength. So.
Yes, yes, we certainly do. But yeah, Easter's one of those funny holidays where you spend time with family, you eat certain things, and it's probably the only holiday where you eat stuff and you don't know why. It's the best way absolutely. I can describe it.
I mean, it is just totally random. And then we had a student yesterday, like super awkward, just come in from recess. Everyone is like, you know, flushed in the face. We're like about to have that, like, hey, warmer temperatures, please wear deodorant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid looks over at me and he's like, hey, Mrs. Knox, so... It's called Good Friday in the day that we did really like this grotesque thing to Jesus. So why is it called Good Friday? I'm like, yeah, stop it. Go ask your parents.
Yeah. That's a go ask your mother type of question. Definitely,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. So it is like one of those things where you just like, I can't explain it. And then why do we eat ham? I don't know. And why chocolate bunnies? So.
Right.
Good times. But let's talk about that hockey game.
Yeah. There are actually two since we last recorded. I forgot to ask, how was spring break vacation?
Oh, it was good. Thank you. We did a staycation. So I got to annoy my children by being like, this is what we're going to do today. And they're like, great. but found some cool like local things here. There's a great farm, Burnside Farms, not far from here, that does tulip picking. And then in the summer, you can do sunflowers. And yeah, so we just had some like cool, you know, some stay at home days because of the weather. And then others were just, it was just nice to spend time with them because, you know, now we're going to be a freshman in the fall and a sixth grader. And that time with mom may not be as enjoyable next year.
They do grow up fast.
Damn it. I know. Yes, but thank you for asking. It was nice, and I did get a chance to like recharge the batteries and enjoy our deck and enjoy the pups and everybody else. So good times.
Yeah. And of course, last week, somewhere in between, you had a time to pop in and say hi to Grant and Cheryl Ann, and appreciate you for that. So it was a good week last week on ice. It was a good start to the week this week. Week's not really over. There's actually, as we record this, as we said, it's Saturday, the 16th. So there's actually a game tonight in Montreal against the Canadiens. We'll cover that next week's episode, more on that. So there's two games we're going to cover. pardon me. So let's get to the first one. And well, I'll just say this. It was, I guess the best way I can describe this week, though, if I had to do it all in one word, schizophrenic is probably the one word I would use. You had two games with a crap ton of goals in both of them. Let's just go over the scoring summary and you'll understand why, in case you missed any of the action. So the first of the two games was this past Tuesday night against the Flyers at home at Cap One. This game had 11 goals in them. Fortunately, the good guys got the vast majority of them. So first period, 6:01, 1-0 in the first. Captain gets his 46th, a gorgeous backhander. Basically, looks like he got his own rebound. Kuznetsov started the play. Sherry fed him to the left circle, and he got his own rebound, backhanded it in to open the scoring. 6:01 at the first. And then about 5 minutes later, just over 5 minutes later, TJ Oshie, Take Me Home Country Roads, with his ninth. Carlson, his 50th assist on the year. And yep. Nicholas Backstrom, the secondary assist on this one, making it 2-0, 11:24 in the first. And then the Flyers made it interesting for all of about a minute. 36 seconds later, James Van Riemsdyk got a break up the middle, split the defense, beat through, and beat Samsonov, who had come way out of his crease. James Van Riemsdyk got around him for the backhand shelf goal at 12 minutes even in the first, making it 2-1. And that was pretty much it for the Flyers. Caps picked up and ran away with this from there. So we're going to go on to what, well, I'm calling this the goal of the week. And if we had, if you enjoy Grant Green talking about one of his favorite players, well, I kind of wish he was here, but we might slip in an audio clip of him. And that would be that. Martin Ferravari, his eighth, beautiful, beautiful goal on this one. Garnet Hathaway started the play. Nick Dowd fed him on the left side, and then it was all Ferravari from there. Beautiful deke around the defense, backhand shelf, against Carter Hart, making it 3-1. This would end up being the GWG. What the hell? We got time. It is worth the replay. And yeah, for once the app people have it right, except they've got this need to tack on these damn commercials in front of the videos. But the captioning, if you have the app, says Ferravari next Nets slick goal. Say that 10 times fast.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Say it 10 times.
Yeah, that'd be nice too. So, so Dowd has it in the corner, gets it over to Hathaway, who finds Ferravari streaking in from the left circle, triple deke and in. Yeah, definitely. As slick is probably a pretty good word for it. Moist, not so much. Didn't think I'd forget about that, did you?
I was kind of hoping you would. Just say it. Like now it's like a whole episode of pet peeves, from peeps to that word.
Well, you prefer peeps to be moist if you had your choice.
No. I hate that word. I can't remember. I don't think you had one that grosses you out as much as that with me.
Right? Not that I can think of, but I'm sure we'll come to it.
I'm sure we will.
So that ended the first period scoring, as it were. So that one was at 13:16 of the first. As I said, that ended up being the game winner. So on to the second, 6:39 into the second. Lars Eller, the first of his two. Mantha and Tom Wilson, his 28th assist.
Look at
Willie. He's on a point per better than point per every other game pace. 28 assists, 23 goals. For 51 for the year. That's pretty good, I would say, for a guy that a lot would say doesn't have any worth and is nothing but a fighter. You know, 51 points in 60 plus games, I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that opened the scoring in the second. Let's see, almost 9 minutes later. This is the unbelievable goal right here. Connor Sherry practically all alone in front of the goalie. A new friend of mine who just joined the Facebook page has a video out. I'm trying to get his permission, but basically it describes the cycle, and he used the goal, this goal, to describe to a T the perfect cycle the puck process when you're in the offensive zone. And yeah, that's what led to it. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov basically forced the Flyers defense to move where they didn't want to. And Sherry was literally left all alone in front of the crease and slipped in the backhander for his 17th. So that would do it for the second period. And then the floodgates really open in the third. 3:31, Matt Irwin on a gorgeous slapper. His first in a long time, first ever as a Cap.
Yeah, good for him. That was so needed.
Yeah, so much so. I've been pretty impressed with him. And the fortunately or unfortunately, the only reason he was in this game was Dmitry Orlov is fighting off a nagging injury. We're not even sure. I think he'll be a game time decision for tonight. So we're not even sure if he's going to play tonight. But Matt Irwin definitely filling in capably. So good to see that. So his first, Justin Schultz and Johan Larsson. I'm not sure, that might have been his first or second assist as a Cap. Anyway, that made it 6-1 Washington. Lars Eller his second, and Mantha Ant-Man and Trevor Van Riemsdyk, that's James's brother if you were curious, on the assist for that one. That made it 7-1. Lars Eller is very good at scoring the seventh goal in the game. I think he did that against Boston too, if memory serves. Garnet Hathaway, 7 minutes later, 12:42 in the third, tips one in. Schultz and Irwin on the assist of that one. That made it 8-1. And then Trevor's brother, James Van Riemsdyk, got another one. Kevin Hayes and Bobby Brink with his first ever point, ever game in the NHL. That on the power play. Caps get a power play a minute later. Johan Larsson, his first goal as a Cap. Schultz and Dowd on the assist for that one. That one also on the power play. And yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 goals for the Caps. You counted right. Three stars of the game. Eller, first star. Johan Larsson, second star. Matt Irwin, third. 37 shots, 9 goals. A pretty good day at the office. And pretty good at the dot, too. 55.2. You name it, Caps did it right. Only count where they were behind was the hits. But I mean, really, did it really need to be a physical game? No, not really. Not this one, anyway.
Exactly.
Shots on goal. Caps got double digits in each period. You always want to see that, so that's great. So, yeah, again, Caps pretty much did everything right. And now I have to take – well, okay, I don't think he meant it, but I have to take Tommy to task a little bit. He did have a bad penalty in the first, that boarding call. I don't think he meant to board him. I don't think he meant to board him, but he was, you know, he could have, I think he could have let up a little bit, and maybe if he did, it wasn't as bad. Now, to his credit, he tried to turn at the last minute, but I think if he slowed down, it would not have looked as bad, and they might have let that one go. So
yeah, it was a little bit. It was hard to see.
a very rare. Miscue. He's been very good this year about not losing control and not focusing too much on the hit. But you know, I think he could have slowed up a little bit and then just kind of lessened the impact. And you know, if he did, I'm pretty sure the refs would have let it go because it wouldn't have looked anywhere near as bad. But yeah, it was a little sick looking. I can't remember if Atkinson came back in the game. I think he did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you never want to see that, and the way he put his head down afterwards when he went to the box, I think he knew he didn't argue the call. So
right. Actually, I don't know if the player came back.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did or not. But yeah, there, it I, again, I don't think that, you know, there was any bad intentions there. It's just, you know, it was one of those things where you can make that last second decision to slow up, and he didn't or couldn't, and it just didn't work out, and it probably looked worse than it actually was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think the refs really had much choice but to call it. But again, rare mistake again, because he's been doing a better job. I want to point out that, you know, he's not focusing on getting the hit. He's focusing more on doing the right thing, which is good to see. But you know, we have to take the bad with the good sometimes. So
it happens.
Yes,
even with my Tommy.
Yep. Okay, so that was that game, and as fun as that one was to watch, the next one, not so much. So this one was Thursday night, and Caps had crossed the border into Canada to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and hoo boy, yeah. This one wasn't easy to watch, obviously. We'll just get to the scoring summary. Guy who had allegedly gone into a scoring slump, Michael Bunting, opened the scoring at 4:37. Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, the assists on that one. That is probably a spoiler alert. That's the only time you're going to hear Austin Matthews' name on the score sheet. Surprise, mm-hmm. surprise. William Nylander, his 29th, 9 minutes later, Pierre Engvall and Jake Muzzin on the assist on that one. That made it 2-0 with ending the first period. John Carlson continuing to have a good week, his 15th. Let me say this about him. I know there are those that out there that disagree with me when I say, well, you know, maybe sometime soon we ought to look into trading him. Well, I get that, but I mean, yeah, he's having a great couple of weeks, but honestly, where has this been all year? Mm-hmm. This sudden explosion of goals and points. Okay. Cause yeah, he'll get the one or two assists every now and then, but I mean, this is, if he's elite, then this is the kind of thing we should be expecting and seeing out of him, like at the very least every other game. So,
right. Well, I mean, I know people are frustrated with that. I just am not. I am honestly, you know, on the Five Guy panel show the other day, I'm just like, I don't know. I've always just kind of been, is he a favorite? No, but he doesn't, but I don't know. I've always just liked 74, and I just don't, get the hate that's coming his way. But then I can understand your point where it's like, you know, is he where he's supposed to be? And are we wasting too much money? And I can understand the whole, why haven't we been doing this since game one? Why are we waiting till the very end? Yeah. So, but I don't know. I don't have the hate on Carlson like some of people on our Facebook page do.
Well, I mean, I don't hate the guy. I just think it's time that the Caps moved on from him, and there's not going to be much better time than now because, I think he's beginning that slow decline now that he's past 30, a little mm-hmm. more than just past 30. So as I said last week, you know, you want to try and get something for him while he's still worth quite a bit. I think he can fetch, you know, a decent player back, a decent younger player back, maybe some high draft picks. I think
he's about halfway into his contract.
He's right. He's about halfway. He got signed after the 2018 Cup yeah. win to his current contract. So yeah, he's about halfway through his 8-year deal. So I imagine we'd probably have to eat some of that salary, but I mean, he's still got worth. And if you're serious about rebuilding, you have to start with one of your biggest contracts. And you're not going to get, what's that?
No, I understand.
Yeah, you're not gonna get rid of Ovechkin. You're not gonna get rid of Backstrom. Right. Probably not gonna get rid of Oshie. So I mean, one of the biggest ones you got, $8 million, is sitting there. And I hate to say it, as good as he's been these last couple of weeks, he's only going to get worse. And he's been a liability in so many games this year, not every one of them, but a lot of them. And he's only going to get slower and worse on his own end. And sooner or later, you got to wonder, is he going to be living up to that contract? And the answer to that is going to be no. Eventually, it's going to be no. So, you know what the guy I was talking to earlier, he made a good suggestion. They ought to make some sort of a sliding scale type of contract where as you get older, the average annual value goes down.
Ah.
Because it matches up with your worst, because most people, and we're lucky to not have to have one of those guys that doesn't have that affecting him, Alex Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. Most guys, when they get older, they start to decline. Well, and when that happens, you're worth less than possibly what you signed on originally. So if they could only invent something like, what's that?
I was going to say, it's such a business I will never understand.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I mean, if they could only figure out a way to front load contracts and maybe not count against the cap as much, that'd be nice. But that's something for somebody in the business to figure out, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, so he gets a nice unassisted goal, crashing the net. Makes it 2-1 about halfway through the second. And that would be, well, I mean, Caps would get a couple more, but yeah, that would be probably it as far as the Caps actually being in this game. Let's see. So Ilya Lyubushkin, that's probably one of the more interesting names you'll hear. Mm-hmm. His first of the year, Morgan Riley, John Tavares, more on him later. On the assist for that one, making it 3-1 Toronto, 13 seconds later. Oh boy. And I think that was the goal. No, it was, I think it was the goal, either that one or the one that was, oh my God, that's right. They scored 18 seconds after that. So the Leafs get two goals, 18 seconds apart. Yes. William Nylander scored another one. On a flurry. And yeah, that was the one where they finally decided to pull Samsonov.
Yeah.
And put Vanecek in, 4-1 Toronto. And yeah, damage was done. That turned out to be the game winner. And this guy, Ilya Mikheyev, I don't, Joby and Locker had a kind of a mini tussle over how to say this guy's name. Okay, so I lied. Auston Matthews got an assist on this goal, but this guy, Mikheyev, he was all over the ice. He just could not be stopped. So he gets his 16th, making it 5-1, 14:44 in the second. Barely 2 minutes later, Bunting again, his 22nd. Engvall, here's your sign. Another assist, a 6-1 Toronto. Game was pretty much broken open after that. Now, Tom Wilson, he got his 24th in this game. Eller and Carlson on the assist with this one. And I think he'd actually been in a fight earlier. So yes. One of our good buddies, Robbie Gross, was actually cheering for an assist, for him to get an assist so he'd get the Gordie Howe hat.
Gordie Howe, yeah.
But wasn't to be. So, yeah, Tommy gets one, 19:07 in the second. But, yeah, like I said, damage had been done by then, made it 6-2. So let's see. The app is crapping all over itself again. Okay, so here we go. Third period, buck 27 in. Mikheyev again, his 17th. Lyubushkin and Tavares, which would be his fourth assist of the game. No goals, but four assists, making it 7-2 Toronto. And then Nick Dowd with the irrelevant goal, his ninth. Wrister at 11:58. Larson and Van Riemsdyk on the assist for that one. Yeah, I don't know. As well as the Caps did everything in the Tuesday game and this game, they couldn't have been more in the wrong. Only four shots in the first period. You're not going to beat anybody, much less the go-go Leafs shooting that few. They ramped it up in the second and third, but too little too late.
Yeah.
too many power play chances, even though the Leafs didn't convert on anyone. But yeah, too many penalties they took. Back-to-back ones in the late in the first. That I think that really started to throw off their rhythm. And then, they took two early ones in the second period as well. I'm not going to say that doomed them, but again, that you take five penalties, that means, you know, that takes away 10 minutes for your best players mm-hmm. to be on the ice. I think that really, really took them out of the game for the most part. This was a surprisingly physical game. 39 hits for the Caps, 43 for the Leafs.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to slow them down at all. So, I don't know.
It was a frustrating game.
It was, especially after the
previous game where you're like, oh, look at that. I mean, you knew we were riding what a four game winning streak. We knew a loss was coming. It was bound to happen, but didn't expect it to be like this. And they just didn't. I don't know. They just didn't look good.
No, not at all. And yeah, I agree. I expected them to be much, much more competitive. I don't know if the plane ride up there, you know, kind of tired them out. I don't know, but they just after the first period, they just went out of sorts and out of whack, and nothing was flowing. The Leafs looked 20 times faster than they were,
mm-hmm.
and they were a lot quicker to the puck. They were winning all the battles in the races, and yeah, it was just one of those things where the Caps didn't show up and they did not put in the effort. And you know, here we are again. We're talking about the same thing we've been talking about forever. No consistency between games, no consistency in the game. I mean, they were still in it about, you know, a little ways into the second period. You know, Carlson had pulled them within 2-1, but then the wheels came off and the whole thing just died. And we're sitting here left to wonder why they can't put together a 60-minute game. And it was, I don't know if they, again, I don't want to say it was one thing, but the loss of Orlov, being out still did not, well, probably certainly did not help. You know, one of your best covering defensemen not being out there to contribute. So I'm beating the same drum here, I know, but I mean, if you want to point to a guy who had a really bad game, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, had a really bad game, would say.
Up until
the last two goals, he was actually a minus four. He'd managed to get two of those back mm-hmm. and end up a minus two for the game. But yeah, he had a really bad game, which is rare for him. I didn't see much. The top two lines were way too quiet. They didn't assert themselves. Just a really, really, really bad game all around. Oh, here's a surprise. There was only one plus player on the Caps. Guess who it was?
Tell me.
He wears 43 and looks good in a sweater.
Tommy.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was actually the only plus player in the game. I'm surprised. Seven minutes in penalties, three shots on goal, not bad. But, I don't know. I would have thought the fight would have rallied them, but you know, especially because you know he got the best of the guy in the end. But I don't know. It just did not look like they came to play. And the Leafs had actually lost the game before to Buffalo, and their coach kind of chewed them out before it mm-hmm. or after it. So I think that kind of gave them some extra motivation. But
that's just it. I mean, we know from seeing the Oshie interview that we talked about last week, where he said, yeah, you know, they had their kind of come to Jesus moment in the locker room to turn things around. And we were starting to see things. What is stressing me out, to be honest, is looking at the upcoming week and knowing that we had this fantastic game where the morale should have been high. Everyone should have been like, yay, this is awesome, to like, we're going swinging the pendulum the completely other way to be like, what the fuck just happened? They're seeing, so you have Orloff out. Okay, that was one issue. You're going up against, you know, the hype of Austin Matthews and his, you know, amazing season in Toronto. Okay, get that. Then you have to see Sammy get pulled. Because right. He's playing like shit. And it's kind of like, okay, listen, we're pulling the goalie the second, you know, what, 10 minutes into the second period. That is a defeated action, you know, to see. It's going to be contagious. It's going to be unfortunate. And we just didn't rally. And it's like, I'm just concerned about, you know, going into this upcoming week, which I know you want to talk about, but it's just, I'm nervous out there that they're hot and cold within two games this late into the season.
Yeah, no, I'm in total agreement with you. I do not like that the pendulum has swung so badly, so widely, in the space of two games. Mm-hmm. And you the fact of the matter is, you cannot take a game off in the playoffs. You just can't,
right?
Because that's the quickest way to let somebody, the other team, back into a series if you're leading them. And if this team hasn't figured it out by now, you got to wonder, will they ever? I don't know. And I wish I had a better answer for that, but I don't. But yeah, they're coming up, like you said, though, they're coming up on some games that against some quality teams and some teams maybe not so much. So previews of coming attractions. Tonight's, we already mentioned, Montreal. 7 o'clock puck drop at the Bell Center in Montreal. They might be last in the conference, but I would not take this team lightly at all. Willem Bagus mentioned it a couple times. They've made some improvements under new coach Marty St. Louis, and they may not be getting the results right just quickly just yet, but they're kind of a different team. I put it this way. They might have lost. They played last night against the Islanders. They might have lost, but they peppered that goalie with 44 shots.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I don't think the Caps are in a position to look at any games from now till the end of the season to say, okay, here's where you maybe, you know, don't have to play, you know, your hardest. We're not in that position. We're still trying to figure out. You know, lines are coming together and that feels good. And that's like, okay, great. Bully situation still kind of like, and then, yeah. So it's like, I agree. Like it'll be a team to keep your eye out for, and maybe obviously not this season, but there's no reason for the Caps to go into it thinking, oh, it's just Montreal. No way.
Right. And if they do, I guarantee they'll lose this game.
Yep.
So yeah, they better come out snorting fire and just pissed off and wanting to win this game, getting back into that groove that they were in last week.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So that's tonight. And then, okay. So for the rest of next week, so we're going to be covering that game next week, along with the conclusion of their road trip, which is going to take them to, Colorado Monday night, 9 o'clock puck drop, Vegas, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock puck drop, and Arizona Friday night, 10:30. So, yeah, you Night Owls hopefully will be with me watching those games. Some of you may not, and that's understandable. These West Coast trips can be pretty brutal. So, those are the next four games coming up. And then lo and behold, after that is the last week of the season, a brief two game homestand, Sunday, the 24th, back again against Toronto. That's going to be interesting, not only because I myself and Cheryl Ann and Brad Silvestro and Mrs. Blue Liner will actually be at that game.
That oh, fun.
Yep. And as Cheryl Ann's guests, thank you very much, Cheryl Ann. And and then it's New York, New York, New York, to round out the season, the Islanders, Tuesday night, last home game of the season. 7 o'clock puck drop, then back, a home and home back on the island, 7 o'clock puck drop Thursday night, and season ends Friday night, the 29th. They take the River Jumper over to Madison Square Garden, finishing the season against the Rangers. So that's going to be all the next 2 weeks going to be very, very interesting. Some points to be had. I'm not going to say, well, I don't think the Caps have it wrapped up just yet. But the Islanders have some doing to do if they want to catch them. But it's looking pretty bad right now. I can't remember what the magic number in points is. I think it's 7. Well, let's go ahead and take a look. Take a look at the standings real quick. Got a little time. Okay, so Washington is holding on to the last wild card spot at 92 points. Islanders played the same amount of games, 74. They are 13 points behind, not mathematically eliminated. Okay, so it's a lot less. So it's 3 points now is the magic number. If the Caps win out more than the Islanders do in these next few games, that should probably lock it up.
Okay.
Hopefully you don't want to get into a playoff battle that last week of the season against the team you're fighting against. You want to wrap that up so you can rest people and kind of get into a good mindset. So hopefully this week will kind of make that.
Right.
Let's hope. But getting back to the Montreal game, just want to say something else. I can't stress this enough. They can't approach it really badly or lightly. That is, they may not have much, but they're a high power team. Why? They got a Suzuki engine powering them. Nick Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
team leader in goals, points and assists, 1937-56. I'd expect him to have a good game. He always seems to have him fits, give the Caps fits. So if you're watching both ways, which you should be, keep your eye on him. If the Caps can contain him, they got a good shot at winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my scouting report for tonight. That'll do it. That pretty much not much else to talk to. Trade deadlines come and gone. We've got what we've got. The lines, I think you mentioned this before, Anna, the lines are, our lineups are settling in. Hopefully guys will start to come back, get healthier. We're looking for Orlov to come back, get healthy. That'll be the big thing. I think everybody else is where they're going to be. Unfortunately, you're probably not going to see, unless there's an injury on any of the forward lines, you're probably not going to see, Axel Janssen, Fialbi, or Connor McMichael come playoff time unless, you know, there's a shakeup or there's an injury. So unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on where on the fence you are as playing those guys, I think they've earned their spot, but coach is going to go with one of his hunches and play the vets. So We'll see. But that'll wrap it up for these last couple weeks. And so next week's episode will also record on Saturday. Don't know if I've mentioned this yet. A very good friend of ours. I'm keeping this hush hush because plans haven't been finalized, but very good friend of ours is cooking something up. We're going to do things a little bit different. It's going to be something of a mini roundtable episode again, since you guys seem to like that. Going to do things a little bit differently where you guys listening are going to be able to participate live. And once things are finalized, I'll make some more announcements on the Facebook page and elsewhere and Twitter and all that to round that out and how you can join and participate. So keep your eye out for that, and we'll let you know how to get going on that one. So Anna, did you have anything else?
You know what? I thought it was just interesting this morning. I heard that Jari is out. Did you hear that?
Tristan Jari, goalie for the Penguins.
Yeah, the lower body injury. So that may
interesting. Kind of yeah,
shift
yeah.
A little bit things on that end, and then also, I am just kind of. I was in awe, and I was laughing with my husband about this. That when they do, you know, they announced the Winter Classic for next year.
Yeah, Pittsburgh against Boston. Like we haven't seen those two play.
Right. And I'm like, and it's, you know, in Fenway, and it's like, oh, that's so great. But it's like, you could not pay me to go because I don't even know.
Do a game in Fenway?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, it's just, you know, just looking at it, like those two teams, and I'm like, I don't want to see either one of them play. happened.
Yeah. And, you know, no,
it was just like shaking my head, like, oh, really? Ew.
Well, that was it. It reminds me of something. One of the joys you have of raising a child is you get to watch the same things with them over and over and over again.
Oh, yes.
And when she was real, real little, one of my daughter's favorite things was Elmo Saves Christmas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so the moral of that story is because Elmo wished for Christmas every day. And yeah, so obviously the moral of that story is when you have something every day, it's no longer special. Well, I don't think the Winter Classic is no longer any special. This is the second bloody time that they're doing it at Fenway. Yeah. And the umpteenth time that the Bruins and the Penguins each have played. Yeah, they need to go in another direction with this thing or not have it at all.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
That was my only kind of like, I just shaking my head last weekend when I saw that come out. I was like, really?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. I totally get it. All right. So we'll go ahead and stop it here. A little bit of a short time this week, but hope everybody listening out there in the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and of course the Commonwealth of Virginia, you on the other side of the speakers, earbuds, and what have you, have a great Easter holiday. And whatever you're doing this weekend elsewhere, I hope you're having a good time of it there as well. Thanks for listening again. More details on next week's episode. Hope to catch you then. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you.
Don't eat peeps.
Well, that. And, I knew this guy who lost three fingers on his right hand. Apparently, he did a consult with his doctor, wanted to know if he could still write with it. His answer? Well, maybe, but I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah. Insert other host's laugh. You seem to have a couple that find this amusing.
I think if only.
Four or if five only. Years in the works, but that's okay.
Maybe.
One day.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.